Welcome to the Banking Reinvented podcast. Every week, we discuss how banks can progressively modernize their customer journeys and model business operations around their customers. You're listening to Tim Rutten, and I'll be joined by Backbase CEO and founder Jouk Pleiter and other senior banking leaders from around the globe. Ready to unpack how to re-architect banking together? Let's get started. Welcome back, everyone, to a new episode of Banking Reinvented, the podcast for changemakers. And today we're going to continue the dialogue with Jouk. Jouk, it's very good to see you again.
Yeah, Tim, it's good to be here. I really enjoy this podcast.
Likewise.
Good, it's good kind of a comparison of notes. So how are we doing with the audience? Do you get some feedback?
We do, yeah. Quite often. Yeah, we do. So I think on the channels, we see people consuming it, first of all. So we have active listeners that return to the podcast.
So people actually listen.
Yeah, so it's not just my mom, you know. But no, even better, I was, like I mentioned in the previous episode, when I was in Copenhagen recently, had multiple people coming to me that they do listen to the podcast every week during their commute, and they prefer the 20 to 25 minutes time frame, because that's easy to digest. Yeah. I think that's also where we should limit ourselves to. But also mostly the topics really resonate, and it helps them understand how to potentially also in their own institution have the right conversation, share and compare notes, even share our materials to make the point. Mm-hmm. That you can make a change and that there's a way out of the challenge that they are in today. So I would say overall, so far, early indicators, I believe we're doing something of value here, Jouk.
Okay, that's reassuring, right?
It is reassuring.
No, but like regardless, like I think it's great just to kind of in the industry to talk. I also would love to kind of invite some of our customers, other thought leaders in the industry, just to kind of make it a little bit more balanced type of conversation. There's a group of amazing leaders out there, people that really, you know, put their teeth in these problems, and they've got a bunch of scars on their back, but they can talk with authority, right? So yeah, I would love to kind of get them involved as well.
Hey, then for today's episode, maybe just to continue the go live streak, similarly in the Middle East, just like last episode.
It is the autumn of go lives, folks. Another one there, I would say one of the up and coming banks there, Bank Saudi Fransi, respected bank there for a long time, went through quite an intense transformation program. But ultimately, people go live. And we had one of those again last week. I would like to say compliments, of course, to the bank and the executives over there and the people on the ground, but also to the backbasers. As you know, Tim, these transformations, I rarely see IT projects that go flawless. So there's always a few hicks and hiccups, etc. But I think what is really nice is to see the perseverance of people. They are on a mission. They work together. If there's an issue, you know, they don't complain or they don't kind of start to do finger pointing. But just very simple. What is the root cause? What can we do? How do we solve it? And I think that attitude is just priceless. And I think that's the way how you get stuff done. Yeah. So I like these Elon Musk memes, like, what did you do this week? Boom, we went live. Love it.
There we go. Yeah, super, super cool. Congratulations. Hey, then for the episode of this week, based out of a conversation I had on the floor recently with one of the executives that indeed listens to the podcast. Yeah. So you know who you are. Good to see you again in the audience. Yeah. We're going to speak about the integration challenge once more. Yeah. And maybe multiple times more, because it is just one of those hairy challenges that you will have in your bank regardless. Yeah. And maybe to get us kicked off, Jouk, we had multiple episodes where also Roland Boyen, who leads our ecosystems team and specifically our Grand Central offering. Mm-hmm. We spoke about the challenge that is inherent in the banking industry, where you have to do a lot of integration work within your institution, because you just naturally have multiple different systems to bring together. And I want to lead with the data point of the 60% of every dollar spent in IT is spent on integration work. Maybe to kick off the conversation there, where do you want to kick it off?
Oh man, this is huge. But like first, like let's go back to the fundamental issue, like the legacy trap. So what is the legacy trap? The legacy trap are siloed applications, product silos, channel silos, whatever. Data is held captive in these systems. It cannot float. Business logic is being duplicated in five different locations. So I think the biggest waste there is that you now have to basically duct tape all these channels together. And that's why we have system integrators. And that's why these system integrators are making billions in revenue, because they have to duct tape all these systems together, right? It's insane. And it's also very fragile because at a given moment, we've seen so many projects where you want to kind of do a customer journey, but you actually have no clue about the underlying integration layer. It's just like a black box. It's really dangerous. So if we look at this, we basically said like, hey, if 60% of all IT investments in maintenance, but also moving forward is basically spent on integration, can we industrialize that, right? And really kind of make, and with industrialized, I mean, can we make it in a pattern with architectural patterns, with cookbooks that you can really solve these integration patterns once and for all? And that's what we did. So Grand Central is basically that formula. It's kind of that industrialized approach where we say there are roughly, let's say, 20 to 30 different core banking applications out there. And can we actually unify and industrialize the core connectivity? And this is crucial because if you decouple the engagement layer from the system of record, you know, that is always your number one. But it's not only the core connector. It's also how do you integrate with payment rails? How do you reconcile between the engagement layer, the payment rails, and the core? How do you kind of keep these systems in sync with each other? So there's just an insane amount of data exchange between all these different systems to keep them all sound and in the right state. There's way more to do, but like that was the original idea behind Grand Central. And the idea is kind of how do we kind of create the rails, right, from all the different backend systems, the systems of record, the payment rails, the KYC, the AML, the credit score. So this wider ecosystem that is called now FinTech nowadays, where you have beautiful capabilities. They are all there. They are all headless. They're all available as APIs. But again, they are siloed. So if you look at that, you basically need something, A, that can provide the rails to integrate. But then on top of it, you also need something to orchestrate and basically bring all those capabilities together. And that's the engagement layer, right? Maybe the best metaphor is a restaurant where you have different suppliers for the different ingredients. They can come from the legacy systems. They can come from the fintech ecosystem. Let's call that the fresh market of produce that you can now all integrate. But like via Grand Central, you now have access to all those different ingredients. And then in the engagement layer, you can basically cook and serve any meal. So I think that curation function to make sure that you've got all the ingredients in an industrialized way with clean APIs, with clean availability, that kind of unlocks, I think, the value creation you can do with kind of creating the right journeys.
Yeah. Maybe one other angle to add here, also from my personal experience in working in these banks for many years, basically proof of concepting Backbase and getting to a holistic view where all these integrations come together. Yeah. If I translate it a bit more to the technical folks, it's moving from point-to-point integrations, which are dozens, if not hundreds in your institution, to a more universal integration layer that's truly industrialized and unlocks also the way of working, basically an industrialized pattern. Yeah. And I think what is interesting there is that there's been a few shifts of how to do this, of how to solve this issue. So 10 years ago, it was all about ESBs. Like put an enterprise service bus in the middle, it's a bit, it's quite heavy software. It then moved more to, hey, we're going to do an API management layer on top, and that's the lightweight way to orchestrate it. And then we moved to the more cloud-native type of capability, which is now an integration platform as a service. Mm-hmm. And I think throughout that journey, we're now at a moment where and the cloud capability and the modularity allow you to industrialize it and go 10 times faster. Yeah. And I believe that's also really the perfect moment in time where we said, now we believe we can actually fix it properly. And that's exactly the Grand Central proposition that we bring to the table.
Yeah, and I have to say, like, I'm glad kind of, it's nice to kind of see the technical evolution. But actually, I would say from a business perspective or a banking executive perspective, if you look at the P&L, in a way, you don't care how it's done, right? But you really would like to make sure, like, okay, whatever business value proposition you want to create for a customer segment, for a retail segment, business, et cetera, I think you would like to kind of be in a position that you would like to have the flexibility to make those propositions and to optimize these journeys. So that intent is very clear. But if you then start to look like what is blocking us from doing it, it's typically access to the right information, to the right systems. So that's kind of basically the bottleneck that is preventing progress, right? So, and therefore, I think like you can see the usual suspects of connectivity that you need to have in place. So what we saw is like an insane amount of repetition where people are reinventing these integrations over and over. I think in the history of Backbase, probably we've done 30 bespoke Temenos integrations. So why not translate that into a single Temenos connector? So you can repeat it. And that's what I mean with industrialized. In the onboarding journeys, you see the usual patterns of KYC, AML, et cetera, address verification. You can industrialize that. In a way, I think this is a little bit similar to the gateways we see, for instance, in e-commerce payments, where you know payment platforms like Stripe, like Adyen, are creating the payment gateway, and they basically do a lot of that integration to, let's say, 100-plus different payment schemes around the world. I think with Grand Central, Backbase is doing conceptually something similar, where we are creating out-of-the-box connectors to pretty much the whole fintech ecosystem, from core to payment to credit card to KYC, et cetera. And that kind of creates economies of scale, because as a bank, you don't need to do all that plumbing. You can now basically select the connectors you require. If a few are missing, you can add them, but you have a prescriptive playbook on how to develop them. But most importantly, you can create value on top of it. You can really allocate your development resources to journey creation equals customer value creation.
Yeah. I guess the other thing we also picked up in the market is that there were definitely horizontal integration platforms that were mm-hmm. being considered or evaluated or potentially already in place, which did not solve the actual challenge of having more value already in the context that you are operating in. Yeah. For example, you just mentioned, hey, we're going to do a whole set of core banking integrations, which we just come across because they are the most mature ones. That's quite unique, isn't it?
Yeah, I think but this is also part of a wider problem. I think in the last 20 years, if you look at the technology stack for banks, we were always in the industry forced to buy horizontal platforms, a horizontal middleware layer, nothing specific for banking, but just horizontal. So automatically resulting in a lot of bespoke development and system integration because it's horizontal. It's for any vertical. You see the same with identity and access management. People go to these horizontal platforms and then they need to an insane amount of money. So I think what we see is kind of basically the rise of what we call vertically integrated platforms. And a vertically integrated platform, like Backbase as an example, what you do is you kind of basically take the notion of an integration layer, but you really optimize it for the use cases of banking. And you start to populate it with banking specific connectors. And that vertically integrated approach ultimately results in faster time to value.
Yeah. Hey, then there's this other notion which typically gets spoken about. And that's great that you have the integration layer and the pattern to do this industrialized. But what is the standard language that all these integrations need to speak to the engagement layer? Yeah. I would say 10 years ago, there was not really a standard language. It was not really at that maturity level.
Yeah.
Recently, we had Hans Tesselaar in the podcast, executive director at Bayern. Mm-hmm. I think that perspective as well added to the mix, now being mature, basically gives you a way of delivering APIs in a language, in a standard that is across the industry being embraced.
Yeah.
So it's all these ingredients that come together and basically make it available to the market in a better shape.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you go for an industrialized vertical integration platform, right? So you do that. Okay, you make connectors. So then the number one question is how do you expose that in a domain model, in an API? I think let's start with the root cause problem. At the domain level, each of these underlying systems, they have their own domain models, right? They have their own structure. So you take 20 different core banking platforms, they do it all slightly different, right? So that in itself is already a wide variety, et cetera, with all the fintech players. So if you start to do the integration effort, ideally you would like to bring it all together in a common single domain model. And when we were starting with Grand Central a couple of years ago, we basically felt like, okay, let's at least go to an industry standard that is we can get close to as much as possible. So it's not going to be yet another arbitrary, bespoke, back-based, specific domain model, hence the buy-in selection. So buy-in inspired. And I think the great benefit from this is in Grand Central, you're now mapping, let's say, hundreds of bespoke domain models in the underlying systems into a single upstream Grand Central unified API model. And that in itself is very cool. It also means that you can now have different cores, but they all communicate to the front end in the same API. Or largely in the same API. You see the same with KYC. So what this does, it kind of enables you to decouple from the core and also swap cores, or you go for a multi-core strategy. You know, you've got your traditional core, you've got a lean core. These things can now actually run in parallel. If you do KYC, you can work with Jumio and on Fido, and they are basically exposed via the same API. Of course, there's some extra work at the SDK level, but in general, I think it kind of makes it fungible. It makes it you can toggle these systems, or you can use them in parallel.
So it basically gives you the capability to swap out, be more competitive, optimize your margin, get a more, let's say, modern player in place and replace another one.
You also see use cases where you can actually now cross-check multiple sources. So in credit source, you can actually consult multiple credit score providers. You can consult multiple data providers. They all are unified via the same API, and you can just basically cross-check, and a decisioning engine or a workflow engine on top of it can just kind of orchestrate all of that.
Hey, we work with different sizes of institutions, right? You've got the bigger tier institutions. We also work with the mid tiers to a degree. Does this apply to all of them? Like, is this sufficiently valuable for all of these types of institutions? Or is there a bit of a sweet spot where you would say, don't even bother reinventing the wheel. This is the best way forward. How do you see that?
I think it's kind of it's a very universal capability. I think either the size of the bank will not reduce the amount of integration work. Full stop. So I would almost, let's say, a smaller bank is almost in a way at a disadvantage because you have to plow your way through it. And I also think a lot of smaller banks historically have been forced to buy a lot of horizontal technologies and different point solutions. And I think it's probably not, economically, it's not viable or very attractive to continue to carry that burden. I think we already see a lot of mid-sized banks where it's just simply impossible to carry all of that burden. So I think it is actually very needed and desired to actually go to more industrialization, because let's face it, all of this integration work will not make the bank per se more competitive. It will not make it more attractive. So I think the timing is actually urgently needed to kind of get efficiency in that integration layer.
So that you can eventually reallocate your time spent.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for clarifying that. Yeah. So you can actually really spend your investments on stuff that is moving the needle in customer value and in business value.
Yeah. I would also say for this type of capability for this type of integration platform as a service, specifically in the vertical, this also unlocks probably better the progressive modernization approach. Because I can imagine that you're going to bring the platform in place,
yeah,
and you just start with the integrations that really matter,
yeah,
to the end-to-end journey you're looking to modernize.
Yeah.
So I think you're also not positioning this as a, let's do a big bang multi-year program and then we have the perfect integration layer.
No,
it's actually slicing and dicing, if I hear you correctly.
Yeah, spot on. I think it's use case driven. It's journey driven. So I think also you could really kind of, I think in everything you do, always take an outside in approach. Like, what are we going to solve for our end customers? Like, what are the critical journeys? And then within these journeys, you know, for instance, an onboarding journey, you see the usual suspects for both what you need to do in the core, how do you enroll a new customer into the core? How do you do KYC? How do you do AML? So for each of these journeys, exactly to your point, you do progressive modernization, journey by journey, front to back, right? So it's front to back journey modernization. And on the back side, that's kind of where you see these connectors, and you see a logical cluster of different connectors.
Yeah.
What is also nice is in Grand Central or in a vertical banking specific integration architecture, there's the notion of a marketplace. Because what you also see is that integration work is one thing you can eliminate or largely eliminate. The second part is contracting. Typically, it's a lot of work for a bank to do contracting with 20 different fintechs. You need to go through the whole cycle. So the notion of within Grand Central, not only to have the connectors, but also to have a single contracting party, where as a bank, you can just go into a single contract, and via that contract, you can automatically procure all these different underlying fintech capabilities, almost like a la carte. And you can do that at any moment, whenever you need them in your progressive modernization journey. I think it's also creating more agility and execution speed, that you don't have to wait for legal and compliance for another 6 months before the project can start.
So you're basically saying to the market, there is a marketplace that is available in this moment in time already, right? This is not future state.
No, that's today. And I think that combination is extremely powerful, because you basically are hitting a few birds with the same stone. You reduce the integration friction. So, which is really acceleration and focus on business value. But it's not only the IT integration work. I really think, especially with the fintechs, it is also a lot of contracting and compliancy work that has been dramatically reduced.
If we do look into the future, let's say 5 years ahead in time, maybe 10 years, where would this bring us as an industry?
I think the it's all about moving forward is about kind of creating tailored value propositions for the market segments you want to serve as a bank, right? So what are your key client segments in the consumer space, business space, etc.? I think so tailored value propositions is really critical. In order to do tailored value propositions, you also need to have the products and the services that are optimized for that client segment, right? And some of these services might even go beyond banking. So it is now all about how do we curate the right capabilities from our existing systems, but also how can we complement that with new ingredients from the fintech ecosystem. And then that kind of goes into your product factory and into your marketplace, and that's kind of how you can create these value propositions. So I think composable applications or composable value propositions for that matter, a lot of these ingredients actually will come from fintech providers. So therefore, you do need to have that integration capability instantly available.
If I play this back, it basically sounds to me like you're future-proofing yourself with this approach for whatever comes next.
Yeah.
Right? You basically have the flexibility to interchange. You have the flexibility to integrate in a fungible way so you can replace as needed.
Yeah.
But mostly you do it in a way that's not going to continue giving you the burden of that 60% spent on just integrations work. They're still spent. Don't get me wrong. I guess that's also not the statement here.
No.
But let's say we can halve that spend and reallocate the rest to building these tailored value propositions, being powered by the fintech ecosystem or perhaps beyond banking, even wilder. Mm-hmm. I think that's really the view for the coming 5 to 10 years, that you have the capability to go that fast.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then maybe also to reassure people, I think a key principle in Backbase always has been like it has to be done in an open architecture. So, you know, the platform or the integration or something like Grand Central, it will never become the bottleneck. You're not at the mercy of this platform, right? You actually control the platform yourself. So people have full access to it. They can make their own connectors. It's kind of inspired by basically open source development where you say like, hey, if you want to do your own connectors, you know, the innovation domain is infinite. Go. The same thing with fintechs that would like to kind of get access to Grand Central and expose there, they can integrate as well. So I think the key principle there is, or the key design principle, one of the key design principles is open architecture and enabling people to control their own future.
Yeah, which connects to the podcast that we had recently with Marco Santarelli, where we spoke about the fact that the architecture is completely open and allows you to do polyglot architectures, meaning you can build the integrations in the language that you prefer or have the capability for, which we're totally open to, so you can basically embrace our platform while delivering in the native language that you prefer. Mm-hmm. But mostly it gives you that flexibility. I think the other perspective that we spoke about here as well is just making sure you have the capability to be that flexible in the future. That's why we started this endeavor to begin with. With Grand Central.
Yeah. Surprisingly, like a boring topic like integrations, right? Or middleware, like, but it is just, if you think about it, and I hope it's kind of clear as part of this conversation, how much productivity gain there is, but also how much creativity as in how much it can unlock in business value.
Let's move to the key takeaways.
Yeah.
Just a few. I think the only data point that matters is the 60% of every dollar spent being spent on the complexity of integrating and maintaining those integrations. That's the issue at hand. And that needs to be solved because then only you can get the agility and reallocate people, but also funding to innovation. Mm-hmm. We spoke at length today about Grand Central once more, which is a vertical integration platform as a service in financial services. Mm-hmm. So for banks specifically, A, industrialized, following the buy-in standard so that the APIs and the way we actually have our domain model orchestrated is, spot on with where the industry is moving. And also preloaded with integration patterns, connectors we call them, in our marketplace, as well as with core banking systems out there that we basically seeing for many, many years already.
Yeah.
And the objective that it has is to really cover off this part of the domain that typically people shy away from because it's so complicated, it's so challenging, and it's just a major burden for any implementation, regardless of Backbase. And the reason for doing it is become more future-proof, have the flexibility to manage your integrations at scale in an industrialized way. Mm-hmm. Anything you would add to this?
No, I think it's very comprehensive, Tim. I think ultimately it's about the speed of innovation in creating customer value. And I think there's many other examples in this world, like where platforms like Twilio, you don't want to integrate as a bank with 20 different telco providers to send an SMS. So these platforms basically industrialize it and you can use it. Platforms like Stripe, you don't want to go into kind of integrating in 100 different payment rails. You call the API and they take care of it. So I think these orchestration platforms or these brokering type of platforms are just crucial, and they are proven at scale in other industries, like in e-commerce, etc. And I think a vertical platform will do something similar for banking. It just dramatically increases the productivity. I also think ultimately it is a prelude into the future where we will see more AI-driven journeys, or even where with AI developer tooling, we can largely automate the journey creation. But if you want to do journey creation at that scale and that scale of productivity, you do need to have all the plumbing in place. You do need to have the APIs. You do need to have the rails, right? Because then you can orchestrate journeys on top of it. So I think it also is a strategic move into the next 5 to 10 years, where in the context of AI developer productivity, we're going to see a lot of development.
And we're going to be speaking about that quite a few more times in the future. Jouk, thanks for sharing your perspective. It's been a nice episode once more.
It's good to be here.
Likewise, let's close it off. See you next time.
All right, cheers.
Thanks for listening to Banking Reinvented, a podcast by Backbase. Make sure to follow both Jouk and myself on LinkedIn, where we will be sharing key insights about our journey towards modernizing banking.